I would invite you to keep that blue Psalter hymnal and open to page 29 in the back. Page 29, as we look at our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 22. As we look at Lord's Day 22 on page 29, we'll be looking at question and answer 57 and 58 tonight. As we look at the end of the Apostles' Creed, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So I will read the bold, and if you would, please respond with the answers there provided. Congregation, how does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Not only my soul will be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but even my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. How does the article concerning life everlasting comfort you? Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no man has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. I invite you to keep that handy for the sermon. And if you would also then take your pew Bible, and we'll be reading from John chapter 11. It's on page 1142 of your pew Bible. We'll be looking at the story of Lazarus in conjunction with our catechism. We'll be reading verses 17 to 27, and then we'll skip down to verse 38, and we'll read through verse 44 for the sake of time. John 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And then skipping down to verse 38, as Jesus goes to the tomb, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!' The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" So far the reading of God's word. Let us pray and ask for his help this evening. Let's all pray together. Our Father, as we turn to your word now, Lord, we are intimidated, Lord. Apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we pray that you would send your spirit even now to guard my words and to Lord, open our hearts and open our eyes to see the amazing power of Jesus Christ and to see his love for his people. Father, would you give us faith, increase our faith even, and build us up, we pray, all for your glory and namesake. In Christ's name, amen. Well, congregation, it's that time of year again. It was a beautiful drive up here from Indiana. The leaves are changing, very beautiful, and it's fall. It's October, and that means it's also Halloween time. And as I drive to school every day, I drive by houses in the suburbs, and they have all this creepy stuff in their front lawn. I don't really like Halloween very much, personally. I don't like it. But they got skeletons and tombstones and... Now, what are we celebrating here? We're celebrating death, right? It's pagan. It's death. It's strange, right, to see death being celebrated. It's not normal to think about the graveyard. And yet Jesus Christ meets us in the graveyard this evening. And he wants to tell us that he is the resurrection and the life, even for those who have been in the grave for 4 days now, even for those who seem so far beyond the reach of grace. Grace can go there. Lazarus was not beyond the reach of Christ. That'll be what we look at first, how Lazarus, even though he was 4 days in the grave, not beyond the reach of Christ. And then we'll look at the resurrection of the body in general, the resurrection of the body in general. And then finally, we will look at the life everlasting, the life everlasting. The story of Lazarus is really one of those tremendous stories we read in the Scriptures. John, he moves through the narrative so slowly, I didn't have us read it all. It's many, many verses long. And he brings out all these little details. It's like if you're watching a movie and it's slow motion, right? You can feel the emotional impact of every little move, every little phrase that's said. When Christ and the disciples then hear that Lazarus is sick, he's going to die, we can't help but think, well, of course, Jesus is going to ride in on a white horse and save the day. Jesus even says, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. You know, we've been reading the Gospels for a while. Yeah, we've seen this a million times. Guy gets sick, Jesus heals him, move on. This time it's Christ's own friend. Of course he's going to heal him. But Jesus is nowhere to be found, is he? Where is he? Instead, Lazarus dies while Jesus is nowhere. And then Jesus and his disciples decide, let's go to the funeral. And Thomas says, well, this is probably going to be our funeral too if the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, have anything to say about it. And as readers, you know, we're sitting there and we're just scratching our head thinking, why let your friend die and then risk your life to go to the funeral? It's odd. We find ourselves questioning the wisdom of the Lord as readers. And when we question the wisdom of the Lord, you and I had better question our questions. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. Well, we read that Jesus showed up 4 days late, and the body would have stunk by this point. And we can't help but relating to Martha, can we? We can't help but feel her pain. As we hear her say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Who here hasn't prayed for a loved one who was sick? Who here hasn't prayed that prayer for healing? And instead of healing, they just got worse and worse until they died. Martha knows something of that pain. But notice what Martha says in verse 22. Even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. You can imagine her emotional state at that moment. Many of her friends had come out to console her. Mary, her sister, sitting in the house crying. Had Martha been crying all morning as well, only to hear that Jesus was there? What would have been running through her head at this moment? We know that she wondered why Jesus hadn't come sooner. But now that Jesus was there and she'd gotten up to go meet him, we have to wonder, why go out and meet the man who's showing up late instead of just letting him come to the house? What is this going to do? It makes us think, maybe Martha thought Jesus could raise him. We don't know for sure, but perhaps that's why she got up and went. The Jews had a superstition. They thought that the spirit kind of floated around the body for a day or two after death. That was a superstition. It wasn't true. But that was kind of in the air at that time. 4 days after the fact, though, no. No, that's way too far gone. 4 days after the fact, you're asking for a real miracle at that point. Sure, you can raise a guy an hour or two after he died, but 4 days, no. He might as well have been a mummy by this point, for all practical purposes. This is a Super Bowl-sized miracle that she would be asking for. And whether or not this is what Martha was really looking for, we can't know for sure. But Jesus replies to her, Lazarus is going to rise again. And Martha agrees, but she doesn't seem content with just believing in the resurrection in general. She wants more. Jesus replies, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And with these words, we have Jesus claiming by that I am statement to be divine. And Martha agrees. She says, yes, you are. You're the Son of God. You're equal with the Father. Wonderful words. Well, her brother's flesh is rotting in the tomb. Or are these just the pious sounding words of church people to comfort themselves? A crutch. Is that all this is? Jesus arrives at the tomb, goes to Mary first, he sees her and he starts weeping, then he goes to the tomb, he's deeply moved, it reiterates this, he's deeply emotional in the face of death and the sorrow that it brings. Christ isn't apathetic, he's not disinterested in us, he's not just sitting away in the stars somewhere, unbothered by the problems of puny people here on planet Earth. No, he knows what it is to lose a friend. He knows what it is to see suffering and look at it in the face. The question on the minds of the mourners is so often our question, isn't it, if we're really honest? Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Now, is he unable? Clearly he loved him. He's weeping. But his death too much for Jesus Christ to overcome? Is death just too big? Is he not strong enough? Well, Jesus tells him, roll the stone away. And Martha, moments ago, pillar of the faith, right? Now she's hunched over in the corner saying, oh, you know, you don't have to do that. He's going to stink at this point. Forget I even mentioned anything. It was a silly suggestion. You don't have to. Just leave the stone where it is. Don't bother. You know, what a picture of the Christian, right? One moment we're here in church Sunday night praising the Lord, and then Monday morning hits and it's back to the hospital. It's back to life as usual. And you and I, we're shaking like a leaf. We're hanging by a thread. We're quivering like Martha. We're wavering as the waves of this life turn us to and fro. But I want to tell you the good news, that even for a doubting Martha, even for you and I, when we doubt, when we waver, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and always. And his word is settled in heaven. It is secure. We can have confidence. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? At his word, the protests stop. The grave is opened. At his word, Lazarus comes marching out. He's still wrapped up like a mummy with the grave claws. At his word, every doubt done away with. Lazarus couldn't resist that word. The grave can't resist that word. No one can resist that word. You know, Lazarus wasn't sitting there in the grave twiddling his thumbs, thinking, oh, is today going to be the day when I finally come out of the grave? No. No, he wasn't massaging his will into place. Christ's word of life gives life. And that is a picture of every single Christian who has ever been. When Jesus Christ speaks his word of life, that regenerating word of life that grants faith by the Spirit, he doesn't just change our will. He borns us again from the grave. He calls us out of the grave into his marvelous light. And it's not resistible grace that does it. It's irresistible grace. If anything could resist the word of grace, it would be the grave. But the grave couldn't resist. Jesus Christ is sovereign over life and death. And he offers himself to us again tonight as he says, Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life. Brothers and sisters, look to him alone for your resurrection and your life. Well, I'd like to focus then on a few things that are easy to miss, easy to just breeze over. There's so much going on in this story. But as we look at the resurrection, it's worth spending some time on this evening. We see it in verse 24 there. It's mentioned in verse 24. Martha says, I know that he, that is Lazarus, will rise again in the resurrection of the dead. And what's remarkable about this statement is just how off the cuff it seems. It's kind of unremarkable. Yeah, I know he's going to rise again in the last day in the resurrection of the dead. Everybody knows that. It's taken for granted. That's remarkable. You know, today, not many people take that for granted outside the church. It's something we need to make sure that we know and we're teaching our children. And brothers and sisters, how does that resurrection comfort us as Christians? It ought to comfort us as Christians. The resurrection of the body is a wonderful thing. Well, I think it's good to start with the obvious, and then we'll work out from there. Boys and girls, Jesus Christ has literal power to raise dead people from the grave. This isn't fairy tale power that Jesus Christ has. He has real flesh and blood power in his words. Jesus literally raised him from the grave. You and I have real problems in this life. Well, we have a Savior who has real solutions. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. But, you know, we can forget how important that is. It's a basic doctrine. I used to work construction, and I remember talking to one of my coworkers one day, and of course, you know, as guys are talking, he brings up, hey, when's the next day off? When do we get off next? And we're thinking about the holidays. I think it's Good Friday. We get off for Good Friday. And he said, oh, you know, what is Good Friday even about? He didn't know. He asked, oh, well, on Good Friday, we remember that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. He paid for our sins and died. And then Easter Sunday, we remember that he was raised from the dead. This is a man, you know, a couple kids, graduated from public school there in New York, and he looked at me like I had two heads. I don't think he had ever heard what Easter was about. I don't think he ever heard that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Brethren, we all think, you know, people, oh, they all know this. We go to church every day. Of course we talk about this. People out there have no idea. No idea. We need to take that word to them. What a blessed hope we have that Jesus Christ is literally raised from the dead. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. The Bible says that Jesus is the first fruits of our resurrection from the dead. In other words, Jesus, his resurrection at Easter, is the proof positive of the general resurrection. He's the start of the harvest. He's the ultimate Pentecost. Paul says that without the resurrection of Christ, Christians are fools. We're the most pitiable people on the planet. But there is a resurrection, and therefore the Apostle Paul would be scourged, he'd be whipped, he'd be stoned, he'd be shipwrecked, he'd be abandoned, he'd spend his life in the service of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and ultimately executed, because there is a resurrection. And in Lazarus, we have a kind of sneak peek of that resurrection, but it's very different from what our resurrection is going to be like in some sense. You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he's going to have to die again. Jesus was raised and he never died again. What a wonderful difference. Jesus is the first fruits of our resurrection, not Lazarus. A Christian will never die spiritually speaking because we've already died to the old man and been raised to life in Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into him by faith. We've died and been raised to life. And yet we're still waiting. We still have to die physically. But instead of being resurrected into a perishable body like you and I have now, we'll be raised into a glorious body like Jesus Christ, what he had, what he has, even now in heaven. It's going to be wonderful. Our bodies are going to have no more aches, no more pains, no more pimples, no more headaches, no more heart attacks, no more dementia, no more Alzheimer's, no more diabetes, no more hurting, no more death. It's going to be wonderful. We'll be in the prime of life for all eternity. What wonderful, comforting news. But brothers and sisters, we're not there yet. And as we see our bodies age, we need to remember, as death approaches, that Jesus wept. That little verse, Jesus wept as he saw the sorrow that death brings. He was greatly moved at the graveside. He wept for Lazarus's body. God cares about us, body and soul. Lazarus's body died. His soul didn't die. He believed in Jesus. He said that he never dies, but our bodies clearly do die. The Bible's clear on this, brethren. God made our bodies good. He said so at creation. He said the body is good. It's not something to be escaped. We're not trying to be, you know, ethereal spirits floating in the air. God's going to give us our bodies back. And if you don't believe that, look to the resurrection. Jesus Christ didn't leave his body behind. He raised his body to new life. And he ascended into heaven right now. He sanctified the holy places by his blood. That's amazing. The body is good. Yes, it's fallen, it's twisted by the fall, but he came to redeem us, body and soul, to remake us into a glorious people. That's great news. Jesus Christ did not come to destroy creation. God the Father created heaven and earth, and he said it was good. Jesus did not come to destroy the works of the Father. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Thank the Lord that we have a resurrection of the body because of Jesus Christ. Well, as we see our bodies age in this life, we see signs of decay because of sin, because of the fall. And that ought to be grabbing our attention like a check engine light. Blink, blink, blink. You get a check engine light in your car. It's saying, hey, I got to get this thing into the shop. Somebody's got to take a look at this thing and fix it. Well, that's what happens with our bodies. As they age, we get aches and pains. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. We got to go to the Lord. We got to go to him in faith. He redeems us, body and soul. And though we have to wait for the body to be raised, I love what the Heidelberg has to say about death, that not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but also my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. And I love that it highlights that little word, immediately. Beautiful. Our soul goes to the Lord immediately after death. Our bodies do wait in the grave. But that shows us, brothers and sisters, that there's life beyond the material world. Boys and girls, there's life beyond what you can fit in a test tube, what science can say. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. It didn't say tomorrow. It didn't say 1,000 years from now. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. To a wretched sinner, 2 seconds ago, mocking him on the cross next door, one little word can forgive a lifetime of sin on the cross there. Beautiful gospel word there. today. No, the Bible says that there's no room for a waiting room. We don't need to go to purgatory. We don't need to, you know, burn off sin or corruption there for a couple thousand years. It says today you can be with the Lord in paradise. Now, there's no room for soul sleep. There's no room for reincarnation. No room for second chances. This is it. It's appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. As a tree falls, there it shall lie. No amount of redos would even matter if we were to grant reincarnation, which isn't true. If we were to get another chance, you know what would happen? We'd just start heaping up more and more sin, more and more debt, more and more guilt every single day, because the Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so it wouldn't help. No, you and I don't need reincarnation. You and I don't need karma. What you and I need is grace. We need the grace that Jesus Christ offers us, His riches for our rags. It's by grace alone that we're saved. What wonderful news. He's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, not just a good teacher. And He says to us again tonight, Lazarus, come forth. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, then we should take some time here at the end to look at what does it mean for Jesus Christ to be the life everlasting. As we were saying, you know, there's a already and not yet tension to the Christian's resurrection. Even though we have to die physically, we really do. You really will die physically unless the Lord returns. Spiritually, we've already died to the old man, the old way of life, and been raised to new life in Christ. And Jesus said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus calls us to believe on Him alone for eternal life, starting now. Starting now. Listen to how the Catechism talks about the life everlasting. This is beautiful. Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has ever imagined. A blessedness in which to praise God eternally. Brethren, we get just a little sample of that, a little foretaste of that in this life. And what a beautiful thing. But we get the full joy when we get to heaven. We can look forward to that. And spiritually, as Christians, we never die then because we've been raised to new life. But Christ resurrected Lazarus to confirm this to us. He shows us in this miracle that His words are not simply nice sentimental greeting card words, you know. Been to the hospital. It's great to see balloons and greeting cards. It's great encouragement. But you know what's even more encouraging than a greeting card is having the best doctor in the world in your corner. That's real comfort. That's what I'm looking for. I love the greeting cards. I love visits. But I need a doctor who can fix me. That's why I go to the hospital. Well, Jesus Christ's words are not just Hallmark card words. They are words of life. And that ought to comfort us. I'm sure that it comforted Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You know, it's interesting that John doesn't really record much of that. I have to wonder, you know, what was the scene like when Lazarus came walking out of the grave afterwards? What did Lazarus have to say when they loosed him from the grave clothes? Very interesting. John doesn't record that. He says, you know, he goes on and he talks about, well, some believed and some didn't. But he leaves out, you know, did Lazarus start dancing? Did Mary and Martha come and hug him? Were they singing? You know, I can only imagine what it would have been like. The joy. I don't think it was very stoic. These two women had been crying for days as they were sitting Shiva there in the house. They saw their brother walk out of the tomb. What a wonderful picture. Brethren, that's just a little picture of the joy you and I get to experience as Christians. Our resurrection to new spiritual life is no less real than Lazarus's physical resurrection. We've been saved from hell by the word of Christ. Scripture says the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner who repents. We get to experience that foretaste here in this life. But the joy we feel today is here and gone tomorrow. That's just human nature. It's not that God's love is fickle. It's simply that we waver like Martha, right? One day that's all going to change, though. One day all the questions we have for God are going to be answered, or they're simply going to fall out of our head as we look upon Jesus Christ and see our Savior face to face. What a beautiful day that will be when He wipes every tear from our eyes, right? We can't express what that day is going to be like. That's what our catechism says. It's beyond what the senses can even imagine. Our bodies will be made perfect and everything will be right. That's comfort for us, body and soul. But you know, we don't live there yet. And I want to land this thing where you and I live, because you know where we live? We live in the graveyard, don't we? When I look at the world, that's what I see. I see a graveyard out there. And Monday morning is coming and you're going right back out into that graveyard. I see a world that's depressed and dejected. I see a world in which suicide is rampant and shootings are happening more and more often. I see drug overdoses. I see gender confusion. I see a graveyard out there. And that's where you and I live. The world knows full well that that check engine light is blinking, blinking, blinking. They look for all kinds of solutions to cover that up. You know, maybe it's a facelift, right? You need plastic surgery. You don't need plastic surgery. You need heart surgery. Get a new spouse. Maybe that'll fix it. Do something. And what they're doing, that check engine light, they're getting some duct tape out. Put it right over that check engine light. And you know what? That engine's going to blow. They got to get that thing into the shop. Death is coming for them. And without Christ, they're headed to a resurrection. But it won't be a good one. It's going to be a resurrection to death, eternal death, to hell. Christ says that they are headed for a world in which there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be torment. The flame will not flicker and the worm will never die. That's what Jesus Christ says is coming for those who do not know Him. The world needs to hear the word of Christ. And He offers hope. He offers life to a dying world. He says to us again tonight, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's what the world needs to hear. He speaks that to a man 4 days in the grave. Someone who, with our earthly senses, we could never believe would walk out of the grave. He speaks that word of life to them. And maybe, you know, as you leave this place, you're going back into the graveyard, proclaiming that word of Christ to those who have been in the grave for 4 days. And you say, yeah, but you know what? If you knew my neighbor, he hasn't been in the grave for 4 days. He's been in the grave for 40 years. There's no way he would believe. Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ's word has the power to create faith by the Spirit. Speak that word of life. Pray that the Holy Spirit would bless it. And He can grant new life. He is able. He's a Savior to the uttermost. Even to someone like Lazarus, 4 days in the grave. Don't become so cynical that you can't believe the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. What wonderful news for this world that so desperately, desperately needs the resurrection and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. What hope we have then. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that He is now seated at Your right hand, His flesh, our flesh and blood there with You in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You that by Your grace, through faith, those who are in Christ will one day have their flesh and blood resurrected and brought to heaven. What wonderful news, what wonderful hope, Lord. We look forward to that day of days. Lord Jesus, may you come quickly and give us the courage to speak the gospel, the word of life that is able to save to the uttermost, to our friends and neighbors. We pray this all in Christ's name.